Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We've got a lot to cover. I definitely wanted to get into Reverend Stilwell's comments on why the Constitution needed to be ratified in Massachusetts. But before I do all of that, I've got obviously some comments to make regarding, you know, what we are kind of witnessing, this train wreck in Mordor on the Potomac. But before I move forward, I want to let you know that this show is aligned with the Constitution Club, which is constitutionclub.ning.com, as well as sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show that will provide you with the process that will get the federal government into compliance. Pretty simple, pretty bold, but until somebody can actually refute that and actually provide something that's even better, that will actually get the federal government into full compliance with the Constitution, which I'm not seeing it coming. And even more importantly, this is really not even my plan. I'm only the one that was able to actually recognize what Madison and Jefferson had been talking about the whole time, and was the only one that was able to extrapolate and formulate that into our today's vernacular and kind of put it into a process so that people can sink their teeth into it. And you yourself can go sink your teeth into it at reclaimingtherepublic.org. Right there on the homepage, I've got the academic argument, I've got the description of the process, as well as the model. So I invite you and your scrutiny to go check that out. I definitely want to thank all of those who tuned in and partook of yesterday's show. I hope that you start to realize the magnitude of the evil that we are facing in the world. This new form of governance makes the old world's infanticide seem like it is a mollycoddling of humanity. The new era of evil is, you know, it's just unfathomable just how evil man has become. But anyway, as we move forward, and before I get into some of these little things I want you to think about, let me grovel a little bit first. We do need support. Every organization that is promoting and supporting Republic Review could use your help, whether that be money. But for the most part, I mean, what's really important is that you just get on board and contribute some time with your computer literacy resources, phone, what have you. You can help. And so all you've got to do is email me, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will get back with you. We will figure out where you are, and I can tell you what you can start doing and then start moving from there. I am actually working with and formulating the actual processes necessary for the counties and for the counties in the state to start working together in taking back their brand at the GOP side, as well as, I'll just call it the Patriot side. If you understand how important it is to have control of your brand, then I think most of this stuff is going to just absolutely make sense. It'll be like that forehead slap or the double forehead slap. You know, why didn't we think of this before? We have allowed ourselves to be controlled by a very manipulative uniparty. That is why we are in the situation we are in. And things may seem really dire, but as I paint this picture of reality for you, the real intent behind this painting is to give you the opportunity to finally take action, to finally wake up, you know, to figure out, hey, you know, that siren's call, which I'm going to reference in a few minutes, that siren's call is peril. We don't want to jump into the foggy water and swim towards the rocks or steer the ship towards the rocks to our own demise. Anyway, if you want to help, there's more than enough opportunities for you to help. I will tell you, go join the Constitution Club. At this point, it's still free. Now, I believe, and I'm trying to convince Keith, the founder, and others that this really needs to be, 50 cents or a dollar a month, make everybody pay $12 a year just to be a part of this, because Keith is in his 70s. I mean, I know he's living on a very tight fixed income and he's doing all of this. And so it's not like he's trying to make money, but he can't be subsidizing the rest of his life for this. And I know that's what ideologues do and that's what he's doing, but we want to get to a point where we're not covering the cost. I mean, I'm literally bearing the full cost of doing my radio shows, and I don't want to be doing that. What I would love to do is share the blessings, because I cannot tell you, and I don't know about Keith, but I can speak for myself. If you want to actually receive and reap blessings, because I truly believe that the Lord will bless us as we take action. Try it. Take your first step. And if you don't recognize some of the things and start actually able to start counting your blessings and go, wow, look, I've been doing this and I don't have to worry about these things anymore. Those things will actually be very tangible and very real for you. When I dove into this, I realized that I was really diving into troubled water, because a lot of people will not want to see this world corrected, or at least the American Republic saved. Because people that have the control over trillions of dollars that are trying to enslave the world do not take kindly to somebody mucking with their plan. And I happen to be that guy. Knowing that, diving into the water, it's kind of like with reckless abandon, but I don't think so. I truly believe that at this point in time, and up to this point in time, the Lord's really blessed me with all sorts of things that I would love to share with you, but my show today is not about that. What my show is about is basically helping motivate. So today's more of a marketing show as well as an educational show, because I will get into Reverend Stillwell's, some of his comments. But more importantly, I want to thank you by tuning in, because that is the first step in getting involved. First, you've got to get informed, and then you can start taking action. You won't take action. I know this. You will not take action unless you actually have a firm grasp that the water or the ground you're going to be walking upon will support you. I mean, not too many people just jump in with reckless abandon. There may be, there may be plenty of fools out there, but when it comes to things like this, there are very few people that really take that type of haphazard approach. As I did today, as I always do, I did scan the news. There is just no chance that the federal government is going to disband its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, period. And I will tell you that the only way we are going to get them into compliance is by using the pressures that the Constitution gives the states in forcing the federal government into compliance. And when I say force, I'm not talking about force from the barrel of a gun. I am talking about using constitutional force. And we can get into that as we kind of move forward in the next few months and years. I want to give you something to think about. Because if you really start looking at, what's happening, just like as I've given you my perspective regarding all of these school shootings, what is the blame for this intolerant genie getting out of the bottle? How'd this happen? How is it that the left have been so emboldened to be able to literally assault and attack the character of a good man? We are witnessing the devastation from a zero-tolerant left, or the communists. And I'm going to tell you when this genie got left out of the bottle. This was the beginning, or it began back in America's counter-revolution. These, my friends, what you're witnessing, these actions, these, my friends, are the actions of the hard left as they have basically got us and sunk us in the counter-revolution. Remember this concept of free love and the notion of loving the one you're with? Remember those leftist musicians, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and all of that? Look at them today. There are staunch communists calling for everybody to submit. Back then, it was resist the establishment. And now they're calling you to come to the establishment. Let's be clear. This problem with the violence and America. So when I'm talking about violence, I'm talking about the actual school shootings. I'm talking about the actual moral debasing of America, America's moral turpitude. This is the byproduct of our education system, which helped lead that counterculture revolution, period. It removed God from the textbooks in the late 40s and the early 50s. It started working on removing prayer. They forced evolution in the 20s. This was a very systemic and a systematic approach in moving America into a godless society. So, as I stated about the siren song, I know many back in the 70s and 60s who jumped into the water, into that water of sex, drugs, and music, swimming towards that siren song. And there's a song that I'm familiar with, and I'm sorry it's coming up because I have to go to a hard break. But I want to finish this thought, so I'm going to take off from where I left off when we get back from the break. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was saying, because I grew up back during that counterculture revolution, and some of my friends used to like to refer to it as those years that we lived after that. The benefits is what they called it, because it was, you know, the easy morality. It was like most guys stopped going on dates if they didn't have what they wanted on the first date. It was just that bad. And so I know many who jumped into this water, like I said. diving into the sex, drugs, rock and roll, the music, whatever. But they were swimming towards the rocks and the wreckage from the siren song. And I will tell you, we are being played as fools to find the left holding up some form of righteous indignation because they were in the water just as well. And I want to point out, remember, Clinton was the first president who ever smoked pot. And back in those days, because I knew communists in the Marine Corps, they were literally communists that I knew that were in the Marine Corps that loved seeing America going in the direction it was because these were godless men. And I am going to tell you that as these men, you know, were defending Clinton because, hey, who didn't inhale? You know, who didn't? But he didn't, right? At least, you know, he's cool enough. It's cool to have a president that kind of understands our generation. And so they were defending this behavior of this wretch of a man back at the very beginning of this. And so we, you know, as Christians, they actually applied the Christian principles upon the Christians at the time to say, hey, you can't forgive this guy for some indiscretions that he had in college and in high school? Really? That even came out with Obama. What Clinton did during his governorship and even before, he acted as a sexual predator. And during his governorship, he used his highway patrol bodyguards as thugs to bully and bring women to him. As a matter of fact, I have some friends that on the human side that have talked about the irony of how many of those bodyguards are dead. The sad irony is this term, and you can go ahead and Google it. It's called the Clinton body count. Now, you're not going to find a Kavanaugh body count. You're not going to find a Trump body count. But the reality is you can find, and you can find a lot of people making great arguments of how these, if you want to call them poster childs for the left and for the communist movement, such as the Clintons and Obama and so forth, you can find, you know, literally all of these types of connections. As Clinton got closer to the office of presidency, America was asked to forgive a person, but he never repented. But we did forgive him. Today, America has been reporting, as the Pew Research has come out, and these other researchers that have actually been looking at religion and the migration of religion in America, we are witnessing that America is no longer predominantly Christian. As a matter of fact, I think of the 2016 Pew poll, it's like very few people even go to church regularly anymore. It's probably less than 30% that go to church regularly. And what I mean by that is monthly. Not every Sunday, but monthly. That's considered regularly. So as they have moved us from the counterculture revolution of being vibrant attendance in churches, the new godless secular America is capable, or I should say, is incapable of forgiveness and these principles of repentance, and the communists know this. So we are reaping what we have sowed from the 60s and the counterculture revolution. We have surrendered our mores and, more importantly, our precious principles, and one of which is the principle of liberty. What I can tell you is that the left are tearing up the Constitution every way they can. And the only way we're going to stop and arrest this evil, as Madison said in the Virginia Resolution in 1798, is for the states to take back their constitution and demand compliance. We must rip apart all of these programs that the left and the communists have implemented within the federal government that have been designed to undermine our republic and empower a communist revolution under our very nose. And that has been one of their goals. To cast off our Constitution for a new deal, a new order that speaks to equality but leads to slavery. I want to be very clear. The welfare state has been exploited for 20 years, if not more, in supporting what we now know as Antifa, Antifa and all of these other communist organizations. Most of these people that are out there protesting during the day, such as the Occupy Wall Street and all of that, they have been on welfare. They are using your tax dollars to keep these people, you know, living a basic existence in this great nation while Soros pays them $25 an hour in cash for being out there for protesting. We are being undermined by our own system. And that's when I say we got to rip this and dismantle this entitlement state apart. The only way that'll happen is with the states asserting their authority. We are moving from our form of liberty and these principles into a state of slavery. As Eric Bolling used to say on his TV show, Wake Up America, and as I always say, what is it going to take to get you to act? What will you have to do, or what will we have to experience for you to act, to give up your teat from government and to stand upright once again? I'm telling you, we only have 2 to 5 years, and the longer it takes for me to motivate people, the harder this hill is that we have to climb, and the steeper it becomes. So, as I stated yesterday, I glossed over this really quick. I want you to know that John Rowland, in talking to him, he kind of painted this picture like he's not going to be living very long, and I know he's in his 70s, and he says he's suffering from heart failure, but I'm hoping that we might be able to get him on. He's been if you go look him up, you'll actually find him in Wikipedia. It's J-O-N Rowland, R-O-L-A-N-D. And he was a former attorney general for Texas. He has founded the Constitution Society. He's a pretty interesting man because he's been a stalwart on the Constitution. I also want to tell you that as I was talking yesterday, and I brought this up, I know the Constitution Club and Keith Reuters has come up with this idea of credentials and certifications. And looking at what we're dealing with today, I don't think that that's necessarily enough. I honestly think that it's the step in the right direction. And I honestly believe that the best thing to do is allow the states to dictate how they want to do this themselves. But I want to pile on a couple of things, or highly suggest some things that every state needs to do. Every state needs to start buying into either the LexisNexis database or something that does full detailed background checks on individuals, finding their criminal background, their financial background, so forth and so on. That way, when the Republican clubs and all, I should say, organizations in every state, you know, start looking on a yearly basis of who they're running against, they now have the full background on these candidates, because that's what the left does. The left will do everything they can to try to expose, hey, did you know Mitt Romney tied a dog to the top of his car? I mean, come on, that was the best that they could pull out, how mean he was. He bullied a guy in high school. Come on, really? They did everything they could to try to expose anything possibly bad. And it's about time we actually start putting people, because you're talking to somebody for 30 some years, my whole life and my background was scrutinized in the intelligence community. And I'm telling you, they go and they talk to friends, they talk to all sorts of people. And it is pretty intense. And our politicians need to feel that wrath. If you want to step into the fray, you better have a clean background. You better be impunable. You better have a character that withstands any type of background testing. And I will tell you that we will probably be able to get rid of a lot of champions on the left, because a lot of them are coming out of these Antifa groups. I mean, look at the communists that they're actually running now from New York, Florida, and here in Washington State, down in California. There are plenty of them, and we need to start calling them out on their credentials. And so I think the other thing is that the conservatives and or the Republicans need to start touting the Constitution and literally pushing this. The other thing is the whole fact of this lie detector test and the manipulation with the FBI and the deep state and doing all of this, we have to start recognizing when we're being played. Now, before I get into the Massachusetts ratification debates, I did not get a chance to talk about Trump's UN speech the way I wanted to. You had to love and it had to resonate in your soul when you heard him say, "You don't respect America, you don't get money anymore." We have to stop emboldening our enemies. We have to stop just giving away. And we have to return back to that policy that if you have inhumane practices, we will no longer deal business with you. Oh, I'm at a hard break. But back before Nixon made China a most favored nation status, it was not dealt with at all in the 60s and the 50s. Any communist nation got zero deals with America. And that's where we've got to go back to. We have to get back to those principles and standards. And I will be back to you as soon as we're back from this hard break. So I'll be right back. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Okay, so getting back to this Trump speech and the fact that he was actually talking about sovereignty is a key thing. It's the first time we've had a president in a long time, in decades, really speaking of sovereignty. I think Reagan brushed over it, but Reagan did not address it like Trump did with the UN. And I think that it would be a godsend if Trump would actually come back to the States and in the next address, in his next inaugural address, or even make an address and pull the media in, because they have to respond to him, and have them literally broadcast out to hear the President of the United States speaking to the sovereign states of this republic, that if you want to help me dismantle this deep state, you have to assert your sovereignty and your constitutional and God-given rights. And so that, my friends, it may be not as far of a reach anymore from what I had heard from him speaking at the UN. I mean, I did hear that kind of New York mob mentality of, you don't respect us, then you're not getting money. But the fact of him asserting American sovereignty and what is best for America, that has to go back to the states as well here. We need a president that will literally champion the states to stand up and dismantle all of this unconstitutional government that is destroying us. With that, I know I kind of brushed over, but I want to kind of point you towards the G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. He is actually reporting stuff that's happening around the world that, as you start looking at it from the macro view, you can see how all of these things are interconnected. There are huge paradigm shifts that are occurring not only in China, but in India. As I think I just glanced over this real quick yesterday, that India's top court, the Supreme Court, ruled that adultery is no longer a criminal offense. Now, see, here in America, adultery is still a criminal offense. So India is actually leading on this, and I can kind of understand that. But I ask you to look at the Minority Report. That was kind of a very futuristic movie. But remember how this police force just went in to basically stop this man from killing his wife and her lover, who were going to commit adultery, that would have been right in front of him, in a rage or a fit of anger. At that point in time, you have to ask yourself, because it's still legal in America, if you walk into a situation like that, your actions are legal or justified. And so how far is America in being demoralized to a point to where we actually start accepting that level of immorality, such as adultery? In addition to that, India just ruled today that they've lifted the ban for women to be able to, because it was a very sexist ban, but they allowed women to start entering these temples. That being said, I think that you're going to, if you start looking at these alternate news sources, you will start seeing the bigger picture of how they are literally shifting the paradigms of these cultures to prepare them into, I'll call it morphing or molding a new world government. One of the things that he also talks about is this Democratic Senator, Mazie Hirono, who's blaming men for all sexual assault and puts the burden of proof on men. In other words, you have to prove that you didn't do these allegations. And I'm going, really? So she's literally throwing our rule of law under the bus. I have to believe that a liberal state like Hawaii would put such a person in as a senator who becomes a champion for communist values like that. Another good report that they had in there was Project Veritas exposed the IRS employees in a new undercover video that literally caught these people. These are two deep state IRS employees, a tax examiner, and I forget the other person. But they literally were talking about how great it was to be going after, and now they're still going after conservative groups and Tea Party patriots and those types of things. And he admits that maybe it was a mistake, but you know they need to, because they truly believe that the Koch brothers and these conservative groups are literally the real threat to America. I just want you to understand this. That is the paradigm of the deep state. Another thing he reported this week was the Antifa threatens President Trump, Senator Cruz, Kavanaugh. You are not safe. We will find you. We are actually being threatened in America by the communist movement, that they are coming after us. My friends, this is all marketing. This is all just proving the fact that we are losing time. And one other little thing that we can talk. Remember I said 2 to 5 years. He also reports, G. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News, go read the article, millions of Africans are preparing to migrate to the U.S. or Europe within 5 years. Interesting. And so with all of that, I'll let you kind of go and get your dose from the Need to Know News, folks, because if you're not getting alternate news, you're just being spoon-fed the agenda from the left. That's all I've got to say. Now, let me move into this statement, or I should say these assertions by Reverend Stilwell. This is during the Massachusetts constitutional debates. And as I always say, are the words that I'm about to read, I'm actually going to be quoting here. Reverend Stillman, are these words the words of deceit and lies, or have we been taught lies and deceit by our school system, professors, our politicians and lawyers, and so forth? You need to be the judge. But and I go on because he was literally listing these points as to why he believes that the Constitution needed to be ratified. And so moving forward, he says, but a worthy gentleman from Middleborough has told us, and that's how they used to, they didn't call each other by name. They would call him the Honorable. Even though they were their opponent, they would still have respect for each other. And you got to remember the paradigm. Back in those days, you disgraced somebody. You called somebody out by name and you called them, you know, something bad. Then that person had a right to call you out for a duel, and that's where, you know, you put your life on the line because you literally disrespected somebody. So anyway, and in talking to some other people like Bob Zadig and so forth, I would love to see, I personally and others would probably love to see the duel come back as a good civil discourse or forcing things to become more civil in discourse. Anyway, but a worthy gentleman from Middleborough has told us that though they may be good men, when chosen, they may become corrupt. They may so, nor is it the power of angels or men to prevent it. But should this be the case, the Constitution has made provisions for such an event. When it happens, we shall know what method to adopt in order to bring them to punishment. In all governments where offices or elective, there has been and there will be a competition of interest. They who are in office wish to keep in, and they who are out to get in, the probable consequences of which will be that they who are already in place will be attentive to the rights of the people, because they know that they are dependent on them for future election, which can be secured by good behavior only. I'm going to take a break right here, because the paradigm really hasn't changed, but what we have now are politicians buying votes and getting people to get them in. If you vote for me, I'm going to give you more government programs. I am going to tell you that as we look at the Constitution gives no allowance for them to do this. It is, one, immoral, and it is illegal. The Constitution is enumerated, and they have to function within those enumerated powers. And there is nowhere where the Constitution allows them for them to create a program to hand money out for whether it be unemployment, whether it be welfare, whether it be a retirement program. I'm here to tell you that all of these things are immoral and all of these things are unconstitutional. So moving on, Reverend Stillwell says, besides, they who are out of office will watch them who are in with a most critical eye in order to discover and expose their malconduct. If guilty of any, that so they may step into their place. Every gentleman knows that the influence that a desire to obtain a place or the fear of losing it hath on mankind. But Borg tells us that that towards the close of the 7 years for which the representatives are chosen in the British Parliament, they become exceedingly polite to the people. Why? Because they know there is an approaching election. This competition of interest, therefore, between those persons and those persons who are in those and who are out of office will form one important check to the abuse of powers. And I'm going to take a break here on this as well. This is why one of the things that I tried to do, and I believe it is the best approach to attack this, is during the primaries and during the election process, we want to use the fact that these people want to obtain these offices and use the Constitution as a fulcrum. In these red states, the people want their elected officials to abide by the Constitution, getting them to sign pledges and getting them to focus on doing the right thing is absolutely a very powerful leverage or a very powerful tool in leveraging them into seeking the right ways of seeking office instead of trying to get them to buy votes. They get away with that in the urban areas and then the dark blue states. But if you look at America in the map, the majority of America in our republic is red. And what appeals to the red is the patriotic and abiding by the Constitution. I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so let me set the stage again, because if at the very beginning of Reverend Stilwell's comments, he basically was trying to create the argument of supporting the checks that were within this Constitution. A part of that I just read was the fact that there would be this revolution that would occur every 2 years and every 6 years for the Senate seats, and not for the Senate seats per the people in an election, but for the Senate seats via their state legislatures. Got to remember that the senators back then were appointed by the state legislators, and the focus every year would be shifting on how important your state legislators are in protecting you from the federal government. Today, your state legislators are selling you down the UN path on Agenda 21 and so forth, because you no longer have any focus on them as far as keeping the federal government in check. So that's why everybody is so enamored in what's going on in D.C. The states have been completely marginalized by the 17th Amendment. And so that goes back to the Constitution Club, because I know they've got plans starting at the end of this year and early next year of getting form letters and those types of things to mail out to all of these new state legislators who will be stepping into session after they get sworn in 2019. And so he talks about this revolution that's going to be occurring. The next point in the check of balances is Congress can make no laws. And this is him quoting again. Congress can make no laws that will oppress the people, which will not allow and involve themselves in oppression, because Congress is constrained to the enumerated powers. I'm telling you. They all understood that Congress could only do those things that were within that Constitution. What possible motive then can Congress have? This is him again. What possible motive can Congress have to abuse their power? Can any man suppose that they will be so lost to their interest as to abuse their power, knowing at the same time that they're equally involved themselves in the difficulty? It is most improbable supposition. This would be like a man cutting off his nose to spite his face. That's how far back that adage goes, cutting a nose off to spite his face. The things that jump out of history in these documents, you got to love it. Anyway, I place this, sir, among the securities of the liberties of my fellow citizens and rejoice in it. The fact is that over time, using the Supreme Court and using the greed, the avarice, whatever you want to call it, of these politicians, they figured out ways to basically hoodwink both the states and you, the people, into buying into this. The fifth argument he states here is Congress, and this is a big one here, Congress guarantee to every state in the union a Republican form of government and engage to protect them from all foreign and domestic enemies. So why isn't Congress protecting us and giving us what we need to get rid of our domestic enemies like Antifa, who wants to overthrow us, like the Communist Party or the Democratic Party, who want to overthrow us? Because they have completely been emboldened and a part of the Uniparty. But anyway, I move on. That is, as it hath been justly observed by the honorable gentleman, and he's referring to Mr. Adams, but this is not John Adams sitting next to him or near him. This is Samuel Adams that was present at this, because I pointed that out before. Of known and tried abilities as a politician, each state shall choose such Republican form of government as they please, and Congress solemnly engage themselves to protect it from every kind of violence, whether of faction at home or enemies abroad. This is an admirable security of the people at large, as well as the several governments of the state. Consequently, the general government cannot swallow up the local governments, as some gentlemen have suggested. You got to remember, a Republican form of government is not only a representative form of government, but in the American model, these states were mini republics. They had counties, they all had seats of government, and those seats had and chose their representation. So that's why they went to a bicameral legislative process and body. So moving on to the sixth point, he says, another check in favor of the people is this, that the Constitution provides for the impeachment, trial, and punishment of every officer in Congress who shall be guilty of malconduct. There you go. I mean, so he's kind of going through the different checks that they have. The seventh point he makes is, having thus considered several of the checks to the powers of Congress, which are interwoven within the Constitution, we will now suppose the worst that can take place in consequence of this adoption. I mean, that it shall be found in some of its parts oppressive to the people. Still, we have the dernier resort, or the final resort. It may be amended. It is not, like the laws of Medes and Persians, immutable. The fifth article provides for amendments. If you understand the insights in having the Article 5 process within what Madison refers to the Constitution as an instrument, within this instrument is the very defined process of what it takes to make a change, to delegate more power or take away power to and from this general government. What I am telling you is that the only way the general government can administer a Department of Health and Human Services, a Department of Housing and Urban Development, Department of Transportation, is via the Article 5 process. If it is not an enumerated power, he points out here that you have to, it has this great feature in this contract that you can change it. You can allow them to do these things or not do these things. The problem is, my friends, as I have been saying for years and years and years, is that the federal government has failed to follow the Article 5 process, and they have constantly usurped. And it's all started in 1849, when the federal government literally started jumping into these usurpations with the Department of Interior. Go find me the Article 5 process where they amended the Constitution to create the Department of Interior. And today, this department wields the BLM, which is the Bureau of Land Management. They also, they wield the parks, and they wield all sorts of agencies, and they actually work in tandem with other organizations like the EPA and so forth. All of these agencies and organizations are literally oppressive and unconstitutional because they fail to follow the Article 5 process. And so I can go on and on, but he kind of just elaborates on. The next one I kind of want to read is what actually Samuel Adams states at, this is towards the end of the ratification debates, because, and this is really critical that you understand this, that prior to Massachusetts ratifying the Constitution, the states were either obligated to ratify or they, you know, were going to not ratify. And Massachusetts felt that there were some things that they absolutely needed to include, and the Bill of Rights was a part of that. And so this is what Samuel Adams states. He says, "Your Excellency," and he's talking about John Hancock, "Your Excellency's first proposition is that it be explicitly declared that all powers not expressly delegated to Congress are reserved to the several states to be by them exercised." That was his quote. And I'll set up the quote again. Quote, "that it be explicitly declared that all powers not expressly delegated to Congress are reserved to the several states to be by them exercised," close quote. So Samuel Adams was literally quoting John Hancock in stating the 10th, what we understand as the 10th Amendment. What ended up happening from this, my friends, is that as Massachusetts, you know, was wrapping up their ratification debate, they said, "We are not just going to ratify this. We are going to send in suggestions as or amendments to this Constitution." They literally set precedents. And after they did this, Thomas Jefferson actually changed his tune as he was serving emissary, you know, overseas. I believe he was still in France. And he wrote back to several friends saying, now that Massachusetts has kind of started amending, he loves this new constitution that you can do this. And he was now in favor of the amendment, or I should say the ratification of the Constitution. So what Massachusetts did was they set precedents, and actually every state that ratified the Constitution after Massachusetts, they all forwarded their recommendations for amendments. And actually, when Madison was pursuing the Bill of Rights, he got recommendations from all of the states once again, because he wanted to make sure that for a final call, give us what you want to see changed for a Bill of Rights. I am telling you that this one line that John Hancock, you know, basically stated needed to be added to this, that the powers not expressly delegated to Congress are reserved to the several states, that was a unified demand from every single state. There was only one other unified demand that every single state asked for that they did not get, and I've told you this before, that every state demanded that they be able to have religious tests for public service or for public office. But in Article 6 of the Constitution, it said no religious test shall be applied. As you can tell, I am out of time, and I hope you were able to garner, you know, the importance of the ratification debates and have the insights of maintaining the powers of the states. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic. I need your help. We need to get this power back to the states. God bless. I'll be back tomorrow. Or actually, I'll be back on Monday. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.